Sonic has started last week, game plan one. I want to continue on along that line. Game plan two. That looks nice, doesn't it? That looks like a holiday. So we are on the verge of holiday. Who's going on holiday this month? Wow, not many. Okay, who's working right through the month? My goodness. Okay, so this is then power for the working hour for those who are working. And we've just seen that December is a time where we all want to take a break, have a holiday. And so often we have a holiday from Jesus as well, which is not a good idea. What does holiday stand for? Holy day. Holy day. Okay, now normally December holidays are not holy days. They are sinful days, unfortunately. And then when everybody comes back, they come back with so much guilt and shame and, and so we crawl into 2012 instead of running into 2012. So I want to share something with you to help you hit 2012 on the right thing. Okay, and I'm going to trust it's going to really help some of us in terms of some challenges we might be experiencing. Okay, so how you invest December will determine how 2012 will go. How's that for a challenge? How you invest your December could very much determine how 2012 will go. Who wants to have a good 2012? Absolutely. And I have found that those times when I did my December right, I had a good year following. Okay, so I want to use a bit of a parable to explain to you sort of some of the concepts. You must see yourself in a rowboat. There you have it. You see the oars. Okay, now the little rowboat represents your life. Okay. And that boat travels the high seas. And so we're all putting out our boats again in December and in 2012. And so there are some challenges, some dangers on the high seas. So if you are in your little boat, there are many different things that can go wrong on the high seas. Would you agree? Or the fishermen would agree. One of the things, I just want to highlight a few dangers that can happen. You can lose your way on the high seas, on the ocean waters. One area where we can lose our way is a mist could come in upon the waters. So what would that represent? That would be like doubts. So easy when we go on our way, as we live our lives, it's just so easy to start doubting, mist, doubting God's existence, doubting things like, why am I here? What about my calling? What about my destiny? So often over December times, as we're moving into the new year, we start wondering, where am I going with my life? So it could be like a mist that comes in. Another thing that can happen, you can experience darkness. When you find yourself in the dark, in your little boat, and there's no stars to guide you. Anyway, I wouldn't have a clue with the stars. Anybody that can be led by the stars? There's one. Okay, I can't. But say darkness come upon you. What would that be? Well, that could be depression. Spoke to somebody the other day again, a psychologist, and they say usually over December and January time, they often have to counsel people who feel lonely, who feel depressed. And so that could be represented by darkness, okay? So that's another thing that could come at us during this next month or two. Then another area, you know, if your little rowboat, as long as you're in sight of land, you'd sort of have an idea of where you're going. Do you know what people often do? They find themselves far from land. What would that symbolically be? They'd be isolating themselves. I see like the church or a church community is like a It's like land. It's like people around us that can help us to find our way. And so often people isolate themselves and they lose track completely of land. Another area that can come, storms. What about storms? You're in your little rowboat and hierdie moeder van golwe kom neer op jou. A tsunami. Tsunami waves coming down upon you and you're thinking, help. And so sometimes storms hit our lives. Something bad happens and it just shakes us completely. And another area where storms come is temptation. Like these waves of temptation. Take another drink. Come on, just go for it. It's holiday. Relax. And so these waves can come against us, temptation upon temptation. The question is, will you be able to resist those waves when they come down upon you? Or will you succumb? Will your boat capsize? Will you lose your way? Okay, so there's danger on the high seas. Anything can happen. And I know this time of year, we want to relax. We want to chill out. We want to shut down. We just want to have... I've learned when I go into a holiday, I must really, really focus before the time so that I can really have peace. But if I'm not focused, I don't have peace. I don't have joy. And Sonika spoke about that last week. And she shared that basically the three areas that you can download that message from last week was brilliant. During December, distractions will come. You need to deal with it. Debt will come knocking. You need to deal with it. And the devil will come knocking. And you need to deal with that as well. And she gave some brilliant tips how you can deal with it. Okay. So know that during the next month or two, temptations will come. Okay. Just make a peace with that. Be aware. And you need a game plan. Okay. Can you say game plan? Game plan. Very important to have a game plan. Okay. So just three things I want to just quickly touch on just to give you an idea. Okay. Psalm 119. Verse 1, 2, 3. This is the first critical part of a game plan. Okay. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. Can you see there's a blessing on those who walk in His ways, who walk in God's ways? But the key problem here is, how do you know His ways? How do you know God's ways? Well, you know it by His Word. And so the first thing I want to leave with you or share with you is to stay in God's Word. Usually holiday time is a time to really seek God. It's a time you have free to seek the face of God. And the scripture says, seek Him with your whole heart. And that's what I do. Sonika shared last week. I take my laptop with all my Bibles on it. I put my earphones in with music. And I ignore the children in the house and everybody else as we sit in our family home. And I just really want to spend time with God. So I put out a game plan of spending time with God, which is critical. So you need to know His will. But more than that, you need to stay in His Word because His Word affects your heart. God's Word is supernatural. There's power in it. There are so many testimonies of people who've read it and read it and read it. They transformed, even Muslims, guys who were blowing up churches, burning down churches, anti-God, anti-Christian, and they read the Word of God and it transforms them. There's power in it. There are people who lay down their lives for the Word of God that you have. And what do we do with it? We sit it on the table. We just sort of, cool, I've got a Bible. I've got 5. I've got 30. Are you reading it? Are you sitting in it? Are you staying in it? Or are you going to be too busy this holiday for Jesus? Are you taking a holiday from Jesus? So God's Word and His promises are powerful. You need it to overcome the dangers, the challenges of your little rowboat. So one thing that He does, it builds our faith. When you read God's Word, when you hold onto His promises, it builds your faith. What does it mean? When the mist comes, the mist of confusion, of doubts, and everything that comes with that, when you study the Word, it strengthens you. It sort of blows the mist away. Okay, it's supernatural. It blows the mist away because you have some solid Word to hold on to. Okay, so that's one. It builds our faith. Secondly, it's a light in the darkness. There are many scriptures. I can't go to all the scriptures. I'm going to mention it. It's a light in the darkness. So when you're in the dark, it gives us light. You see, God's promises gives us a sense of purpose. Say you come into December, you alone somewhere or with family, and you hit the new year, and you're just thinking, man, what's the point of my life? What's the point of doing what I am doing? Do I have a purpose? Do I have a destiny? Do you know how you can know? God's Word, God's promises. I have received over the years prophecies and promises that God has given me that gives me a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose. I am here for a reason. So when you're in the dark, you need to hold on to that Word. It's like having a GPS system. You're in your little boat. You don't have a cooking clue which way to go. It's dark. And you put up your GPS. Beep, 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 beep. That way. And then you can go. Okay, so when you're in the dark, you can't see. So with your own senses, and when life hits us and challenges hits us, you can't see with your physical eyes. You need to see with your heart. You need to see with your spiritual eyes. You can only see through the Word of God. How? God sees everything, past, present, future. And so He reveals to us the future. And He says to us, I have a destiny for you. I have a plan for your life. Okay, you need that. Otherwise, why? Do you know that when you and I live without a sense of destiny, we will not live focused lives? Because why? Why live focused? Why not just mess up this holiday? Because you can just say sorry next month. Yeah, it won't be that bad. You just say, sorry, Lord, did it again. Hey. But when you have a sense of destiny, you realize I've got something to accomplish in 2012, and so I need to be focused so I can be connected to Him, so I can stay on track. So you need that. It's a light in the darkness. Even with Abraham, in the book of Genesis, speaks of Abraham. He was old. He couldn't have a son or couldn't have children. And he had a word. God said, you will have a son. If you don't have a promise, you're like your little boat in the dark. And you don't know which way you're going. You need to trust God for a promise. And that's why December is so critical. I found that God really wants to speak to us in the new year. I have received over and over again these words, these promises where God says to me, this is for 2012. It's my direction. You need it. And you need to ask God. You need to pray. Say, Lord, give me my promise. And so God spoke to Abram, you're going to have a son. And then 10, 15, 20 years later, he got his son and he impacted the nations. And then the isolation thing, drifting from the land. Don't isolate yourself. I don't know everybody here, but maybe you're not at a church. It's dangerous because you're so easy to drift away from land and you don't just know if you're coming or going. Okay, you need mature believers around you. We need people to help us so we don't get lost. Don't isolate yourself. And then the storms of life, when those storms come, God's word is like an anchor. The storms, those waves come, you can drop anchor and you can just sit through that storm. But you have your word, you have your promise. God, doesn't look good. God, it looks as if you've left me. God, it looks as if all of the world is against me. God, it looks as if I don't have a destiny, I don't have a purpose. God, it looks as if you were against me even. But God, I have your word and you said you are faithful and you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm sure many of us can tell our stories, going through our dark, going through our storm, and all you have is a promise from God. Like Hebrews 12, I will never leave, Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you don't know what's going on anymore, you have a promise where God said, you're my son, I'll never let go, I'll never let go, I'll never let you go. You need that. So what practical, in terms of staying in God's word? Set out a fixed time during the holidays to spend it in God's word and in prayer. Prayer is a tool through which we assimilate God's word, we stay in it, and then we ask God, give me your promises, Lord. Give me your promises so I can get my little boat directed, focused, overcome the storms of life. Okay, so that's the first one. Stay in the word. Secondly, moving forward. How do you move forward in a rowboat? Any suggestions? This is not a trick question. You row the boat. You see, it's amazing. Now, just because she wants to get baptized, now already God is just blessing her abundantly. There we have evidence. You need to row your boat. What does that mean? What does that symbolize? It means obedience. You need to row. You can't just sit in your boat and believe. Okay, I have the word, I have direction, but now you need to move to your destination. Now you need to set a course to come to the place where you're destined to be. I want to leave this with you. Obey, or you will fade away. It even rhymes. Obey, or you will fade away. If you forget everything else this morning, remember this. Obey, or you will fade away. Obey, or you will lose track. Obey, or you will get lost on the sea. So rowing is our actions of obedience. Okay, can we quickly practice? Everybody grab your two oars. I know, please, Pastor, don't do that. We're uncomfortable. It's okay. It's good to be uncomfortable. In church, we row. Row. And we row. And we row. And we row. Okay, awesome. Okay, well done. So you know what that means. Okay, you can stop now. I wanna hold this before you. Rowing in your little boat is like obedience. It's obeying. Look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 to 10. The Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." Can you say labored? Labored more abundantly than they all. "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So the Apostle Paul kicks off there and he says, "I am the least. I do not deserve what God has given to me." And then he says, do you see all those other super apostles, though, Peter and James and John and all those guys? I'm less than them, but I've done so much more than them. And then he says, how? Because of the grace of God. What is grace? Grace is empowerment from above. Empowerment on the inside of us from above. God gives us supernatural power to do what? To obey him, to do his will. You see, when you become a Christian, do you know what? And you get in your little boat and you want to take up those oars to row, you find out your arms are useless. Useless. I'm going to fall over you. I must get a real pulpit someday when I've arrived. And we're going to stay with this one. I've already arrived. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. But we're like paralyzed. You think, great, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to take my oars. I'm going to row. And you take your oars and you just realize, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. I'm paralyzed. I am powerless. And you need to realize that. I need to realize that. I cannot pray without God's help. I cannot study his word without his help. I cannot obey him without his help. I cannot do anything. I cannot hear his voice without his help. I need God's help. And then a miracle happens. You get biceps. You get strong arms. And you can row. You can obey. Supernatural. That's what the Apostle Paul is speaking about. He says, I labored more than they all, but not I. The grace of God. The grace of God. And so I've done this. I've been around this bush trying to do it in my own strength. You can't. The kingdom of God is about, okay, you're not going to like this, hard work. The kingdom of God is about hard work. No, it doesn't work like that. I get into my boat and I just say, Jesus. And then Jesus arrives, he grabs the oars, you sit back drinking your martini, and he rows for you. No. That's not how it works. He's already died for you on the cross. He said, now I'm sending my Holy Spirit to empower you to obey me, to row. The kingdom of God is about hard work. Nothing just happens. It just doesn't fall out of the sky. You need to get into the scriptures. You need to pray. You need to call out to God. You need to obey him and follow him. Yeah, this is a lack of gospel I'm preaching this morning. Because sometimes our thinking gets fuzzy. We want God to do wonderful things. We want God to change the world while we do zip. Doesn't work like that. He says, there's your boat. There are your oars. Get rowing. I'm going to help you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you the strength, but you need to row. You need to obey. You need to follow. Do you know what the word disciple means? God's great commission is go into all the world, make disciples. The word disciple in a sense means disciplined one. Discipline. The older I get, the more mature I become in the Lord, or longer I've walked with God, the more I realize that the basics are still the critical stuff. You need to spend time with Jesus. You need to make time for him. You need to focus, not get distracted. You need to. Otherwise, you're gonna, if you don't obey, you're gonna flow away. Obey or you will fade away. Okay, so why do you row? Now, this is the critical thing. People say, oh, okay, so I have to work for it. I have to work for my salvation. Is that what you're saying? I thought it was by faith. It's a gift. It's by grace, not by my works. True. It's true. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. And at the heart of this is, why do you row? When you get in your boat, why do you row? Do you see God standing on your little boat with a whip? Row! Row! Faster. Do you see God like that? Because some of us do. We see him like the slave driver. Ooh, I must read my word, otherwise he's going to be angry at me. Ooh, I need to do this, otherwise he's going to be angry with me, and I'm not going to be happy with me. Now that's wrong. That's the wrong God. That's not the God I serve. God is not a slave driver. He comes alongside us and he says, I love you, my son. Let me come and sit here in the boat with you. Let's do this together. There's a partnership working together. You row because you are already in right standing with God. You row because you've already put your faith in God. You say, God, I thank you for what you've done for me on the cross. I receive all of your perfection, all of your holiness, all of your goodness. I am now a son of God. And now I can receive your Holy Spirit that gives me supernatural power to row like a machine. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be great. Amazing, when I came to the Lord, I committed my life to God, and at a later stage, about 3, 4, 5 months later, I was 4 months later, I was baptized in water, and I struggled to connect with God, but after I was baptized in water, it was like 3 days later, my life completely transformed. When I came into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I came into a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and then suddenly I had the ability to work really, really hard. But it was wonderful. I could pray for 5 hours. And it wasn't hard work. It was party. It was amazing. It was just supernaturally God empowering me to pray and to commune with him and to connect with him. And I don't pray every day for 5 hours. Don't worry about that. I'm not trying to only pray a little bit every day. But I do it with joy. Obey. Obey God, but by the power of his Spirit. Because see, what happens is, when you and I start rowing in our own strength, you come to the conclusion that, I don't like this Christian thing. this is hard work. This is hard work. I don't like it. I read my Bible and it just gefrek. It is nothing happening. It's just, it's do it. You know, or I'm praying. When you come to Shofar's prayer meetings, they go on for a whole hour. Oh my. I die after 10 minutes. Because you're doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in your own strength. But when you connect with the Spirit of God, when you receive that grace, you can do it. Just something I felt God speak to me concerning this rowing and concerning this obedience, as I felt God telling me, my people do not continue on until breakthrough. They stop short. In other words, we get our direction, we get our promise, we get our word, and then we row. Okay, why am I not there yet? I've rowed, Lord. I've obeyed. What's going on here? God, word doesn't work. No, row again. Row again. Keep at it. Keep on track. Do not give up. Do not allow the storms to cause you to give up. Look at the scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 36 speaks of endurance. For you have need of endurance, so that after, can you say after? After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Not just after you've done part of the will of God, and when you've fulfilled the will of God, when you've gone the whole way to your destination. You have the promise, it says, that harbor, and you row, and you row, and you row, and you row, and you row until you get it. Most Christians stop short, get disillusioned, give up, and they fade away. Are you holding on to your promises? Are you holding on to what God has given to you in your heart? So what does this practically mean? As you study the word on a daily basis, as you read the scripture, ask yourself this question. What can I apply today? What can I apply today? I've read this now. What does this mean for my practical life? It's not just about theory. It's not just about knowledge. But how can I now do this today? Okay, so ask that question to you during the holidays or whenever you're studying the word. Hebrews 10, 38 to 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Anyone that draws back, anyone that stops rowing, anyone that gives up, anyone that says, I don't want to do this anymore, I can't do this, it's the ones that give up. You can't please God without faith and without continuing on. And then it says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. If Jesus doesn't come back in the next 50 years, then I still want to be going on track, faithful, focused, stronger than ever. Will you be with me? Or will you fade away because of the storms, the mist, the darkness, temptation? Will you fall away because of disappointments? Or will you stay on track? Is it easy? No. It's not easy. But you need people around you to help you make it through. Okay, just to end off with, a little becomes a lot. So you're in your boat, you have your word, you have your promise, and you believe it, you hold on to it. And now you row, you obey God. And you might say, but that's really tiring. But look at this wonderful scripture, John chapter 4, verse 32 to 34. This is Jesus with a woman at the well in Samaria, and his disciples come. And they find him, they brought food, and then he says this interesting thing. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Like, huh? Jesus, what do you mean? You have food. I don't understand. What food? Then Jesus explained. He said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. My food is to do the word of God. My food is to row in the direction that God has told me to. My food, it gives me strength. For those who gym, you will know. You have to eat something after you have exercised. Otherwise, you will just fade away into oblivion. Okay. Okay, some of us, that might be a positive concept. Fade away. Okay. Point being, we need food. The Word of God is our food, but Jesus said there's a higher level of provision, a higher level of sustenance, a higher level of supernatural provision, where Jesus says, obey me. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you food. For what? For the next step of obedience. And then when you've stepped that next step in obedience to me, I'm going to give you more grace for the next step. And so the guy's getting baptized today. That is a step of obedience. But that's not the destination. That's just the first step, or second, or tenth. Now you need to continue obeying God. Obeying God. This is so important. The scary thing is, we can go to church for all of our lives, sit in the church service, read our Bibles, and completely miss God. Completely. Even be unsaved. Even not go to heaven. Huh? How's that possible? Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I tell you. Now that is scary. So what? So then he says, go away from me. I do not know you. Is that scary? That's very scary. In other words, the proof of true salvation is, are you walking the road of obedience, or are you fading away? So I want to hold this before you. Wherever you might be, evaluate your heart. Evaluate your life. Are you just Christian on paper? Are you truly obeying God? Not because you're trying to earn anything, but because you put your trust in Him so that outflow happens. Okay, the proof of true faith is that we will follow Him. Matthew 25:29, last scripture. It says, and this is where a little becomes a lot. Because you could say, okay, I'm in my little rowboat. This was so insignificant on this vast ocean. What's the point? Now look at this scripture where Jesus speaks and it reveals why you need to be faithful. For to everyone who has and uses it faithfully, more will be given and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, because he didn't use it faithfully, even what he has will be taken away. If you don't lose it, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you use it, God will give you more. So if you're in your little boat with your jelly arms and you just barely can do half a row, if you keep on rowing, you keep on obeying, you do your little bit, you spend time with God every day, you pray to him, you say, God, lead me. I want to follow you. But you do your little bit. A miracle happens. A miracle happens. He doesn't just give you Arnold Schwarzenegger biceps. He gives you more. He connects you with other people. Lots of boats getting together. Becomes a big ship. Maybe adds an engine. Who knows? You become a life-saving boat. Or maybe a battleship. We all start alone in a little rowboat, insignificant, doing our little bit. But if we are faithful, God will promote us. If we are faithful, God will give us more gifts, more abilities, more favor, more of His Holy Spirit, more of Him. So I want to hold this before you. Even if it's just you and your little boat, if you have a little dream in your heart, or maybe a big dream, just stay faithful and stay on track. And God will release so much more to you if you're faithful. Faithful. And I just felt as well, God speaking to me and telling me, many of His children don't step out. They don't do what He's called them to do because they're still waiting for something. And I just feel God is saying, He's given you enough grace for the next step of obedience. You have all you need. All you need for the next step. You don't have it for the big picture necessarily, but you have all you need for the next step, the next row, the next step of obedience. Okay, so game plan. Game plan for the holidays. Stay in the Word. Then obey, row, be faithful, do what the Word says. And then thirdly, know that God's going to increase if you're just faithful. I remember when I was a student, my first 2 years or so, I became a believer, and there was this, what they call the Hana Denier. For those who don't know what that is, but it's the Hana Denier. It's an excuse to have a big party and get drunk, stinking drunk. That was the one day just before the exams at the end of the year. And so all my friends and everybody were drinking and getting wild. And I just knew in my heart, I can no longer do this. I can no longer be a part of this. And so I remember walking out of the hostel. I remember walking into a outdoor somewhere. And I was like, feeling lonely. I was thinking so, oh man, I want to be part of what's happening. I want to be part of the party. I want to be there. I feel so lonely. I think, God, is it worth following you? Is it worth sacrificing this fun for you? And over the years, I've got my answer. Yes. He will bless you out of your socks because He sees the offering of obedience. He sees the offering. When all the guys are getting drunk and messing around, you turn, you walk away. When the TV comes up and there's this off movie and there's these scenes and that scenes, you close your eyes or you walk out. You choose the way of holiness. You choose to obey God. And He will bless you. He will bless you, guaranteed. So I want to encourage you. I want to hold this before you. Your little boat feels like nowhere, can really become a battleship, can really make an impact on this world if we choose to walk the path of obedience and holiness. Amen. Amen. I just want to pray for us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. God, you are a good God. And you've given us abundance of grace. More than we can imagine to row, to obey, to follow you. And so, Father, we pray for each of us here, Lord, that this will just sink into our hearts. Lord, that we'll see the promises of God. We'll see the word that you hold before us of peace, of joy, of blessing, of knowing you. And so, God, we pray that you would lead us on that road, on that track, in the name of Jesus. God, we worship you. God, we thank you for a game plan for the next month and a half. Thank you, God, that we can step into 2012 more focused than ever before, without guilt, without shame, because we followed you. God, may we seek you with all our hearts. may it just sink in. God, may we click on the inside of us. Oh God, we need the power of your Holy Spirit, grace, to give us the strength to endure, the strength to row, the strength to obey, the strength to follow, the strength to labor hard. But it's a joyful, fun labor. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Just as our eyes are closed, maybe you are experiencing, you're in your boat, and you are experiencing some of these symptoms. A mist around your mind, around your life, your doubts, confusion. Or maybe just darkness. You have no idea of what the way forward would be. Or maybe you are out of sight of land. You've got lost. You're isolated. Or maybe the storms of this life is hitting you. Wave upon wave. Maybe even temptation. And you need God's strength for the way forward. If that is you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand if any one of those areas. Just raise your hand. Anybody else? God, we worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those who raise their hands. And we pray, Lord, that your word will bring life and light and truth and understanding in the midst of it. In Jesus' name, Lord, whatever storm might be coming upon them, Lord God, may the word, may your promises anchor them so they can endure. In Jesus' name. And then also, I just want to ask, just as our eyes are closed, maybe you call yourself a Christian, but your life doesn't show it. There's no obedience to God. Maybe you call, speak to God when you pray and say, Lord, Lord, but he might tell you, I don't know you because you're not following me. You're not obeying me. So if that is you, as our eyes are closed, would you raise your hand just to say, that's me. I realize I'm Christian by name, but I'm not following him. Anybody, just raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. You can drop it again. Anybody else? This is so important. You don't want to find yourself one day at the pearly gates expecting to go in, and you have to hear from God Almighty who loves you, I'm sorry, it's too late. I don't know you. You never followed me. Is there anybody else? God, we worship you.
I just want to share what I've seen as we were praying. Just someone has been touched by God just now, and I just saw this person being lit up with fire and burning, and his heart is beating, or she, I'm not sure. But yeah, I just want to encourage you to respond to God. Yeah, it's an amazing thing that he's doing, and just respond to God. Just do whatever He tells you to do, and don't be afraid of man.
Amen. I just want to pray for us, and then we're going to end. Father, we thank you. God, we just pray for those, Lord, who have responded. God, may we be Christians, not just in word, but in deed as well. God, we thank you for each person that's getting baptized today. Lord, that they are saying through this act of obedience that I belong to Jesus. God, we worship you for that. We celebrate them. And we pray, God, that you'd bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name. Amen.